Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Welcome to everybody. We just appreciate you spending the next hour with us every Sunday night here at 8 p.m. Central Time. And as you look down, I had to close the blinds a little bit. You're looking down over the beautiful horizon of the most awesome city in the world, Houston, Texas. And second in line is Austin, Texas, and our guest is from Austin tonight. But I always put Houston at the top of my list because I want to be loyal to my hometown, to where I live anyway. So it took me a few years to become a Texan, and I've been here about 10 years, and I should have been in Texas all of my life because this is the place to be. There's no doubt about it. But welcome to the program. We would like to let you know that we would love to have you call in tonight. This is going to be one of those literally grab a cup of coffee and a cookie, a hostess Twinkie or a ho-ho, and join us in our conversation tonight because we're just going to be laid back and talk about some things on our heart, things that's going on out into the city and into the world in your community and maybe even in your own family. And I honestly have probably the most personable friend of the network and of our radio show that I've met on the road with her and her husband that's going to be sharing with her just her very common sense approach to dealing with kids. I'm going to introduce to you her to you here just shortly. But write this number down, 888-627-6008, and we would love, I'm talking about love, to have you call in tonight and just join in on the conversation. Something on your mind, something you want to add to the conversation, or if you have a question or two, we're going to kind of be focused on kids tonight. So many times in our life, we focus on all of us old folk and think the world, you know, this is us and this is the world and everything revolves around us. When in reality, folks, I hate to break your bubble, but it ought to be revolving around the kids. And we're going to focus this hour on children. Before we get started, I always like to open up with first the welcome and letting you know that we're going to be here each week. The commercial, I'll go ahead and talk about it real quick. If you want to get on Shattered by the Darkness, the Facebook page and look at that. We have the newest books coming out, and the reason it's being delayed is we're revamping this one a little bit, the journal, and I also have a kids edition to this with an embedded journal. So Caleb, you may be interested in that because I think this is going to be for more of the 12 to 18-year-old kids so where they can go in, and it's called When the Dark Cloud Comes. And how to deal with it when things happen, when you're bullied, when you don't get picked. Or no, let's put it in the way it was with me when I was a kid. I was always picked last to be on the team in kickball, things of that order. And when those kind of things happen to you as a child, how do you deal with it? We're going to try to teach them how and teach your kids how to journal at an early age because I have personally found that that has been one of my lifelines to be able to stay somewhat normal. Somewhat, okay, just letting you know, somewhat normal. It is sure helping. Okay, if you want to grab a piece of paper and a pencil and just write these things, just a few things that I want you to tell yourself this week, okay? Just if you could, First of all, I want to let you know that you can laugh when you can, you can cry when you can, and when you need to. And I want you to focus this week on your priorities in life. And number one, I want you to know that it's okay to fight the hardest for the thing that you want the most in life. To go ahead and take an extra effort to reach down deep inside of your soul and your spirit and your energy and say, this is what I want, and I'm not giving it up. I think so many times in life, we give up way too soon and back away. And I love the story where the old diamond mine, when a person went into this old cave and they were trying to find diamonds, and they kept crew after crew after crew, year after year, they said there was diamonds there. And after the last crew gave up and said, there's no diamonds in this cave, and they ended up leaving, the next crew came in and it took one tap and the wall fell and it was full of diamonds, because it was just it was that far away from the last crew. So what I'm telling you is just give it all you have inside of you to fight for what you want. Fight for what you dream about, and don't feel guilty about doing that. So this week, decide what it is your priorities are, and then fight for that, and fight hard for those things that you want, and take action now. I can't think of a better time than when you're in your home, sitting back, watching the boob tube, taking in all of those game shows. I tell you what, I am getting so good at Family Feud and Password Plus, that, boy, I can take on anybody. Me and Adelaide could really have a dandy time right now. I could just do it. But isn't there something a little bit more important than that? Isn't there something better than Matt's game? And instead of just watching that stuff, now is the time to focus on your priorities and really be interested in if you want to go back to college online. If you always wanted to get that degree, I can't think of a better time than during this time we're quarantined and you're inside of a room or a house or an office or whatever, you don't get to go out. What would you want to go out to? Right now, just you're better off and you're safer at home, but take action now. And then this week, I also want you to always focus on your next positive step. The next thing that's going to make a world of a difference for you or your family or your kids, don't put it off. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, take that one step towards that positive goal that you have in life and just make an effort at that, and you will be blessed. No matter what the world is going on and what's happening in the stock market, what's happening in the grocery stores, what's happening in the world with politics and this COVID and all that, I want to let you know that you still have, I promise you, something to smile about. Something to be blessed with, something to understand that there's always hope in your life. And, you know, last week we had just an awesome guest. Kelly was here, Kelly Rooney, and she wrote this little 40-page journal about what it was like to, it was a guided journal, what it was like to live with an alcoholic husband. And after the show ran last Sunday night, I forgot to tell Doug this. Listen to this, Doug, you'll be interested. Before the show ran, it went on Amazon. After the show was over and the next morning, it went to number one. So our viewers watch, our viewers pay attention, they listen and they see sincerity and they see authenticity. And that's the thing that I will not fill this hour with people that just have knowledge. If they have knowledge without the heart, go on. But if you have the heart and knowledge, that's what we're after. And I always want to let you know that no matter, and she said something last week, that you always find something to smile about, something to be happy about. And I'm going to stop there. That's enough stuff for me. But I just think it's important for us to be able to understand that life is still good. This country is still the best in the world. The economy is still all right. We're not going to hell in a handbasket. It's going to come back around, but it's going to take all of us together to join hands and see what can we do to make it happen together. When we look at our own, You're not living on an island by yourself. You have to be able to help other people around you too. So just take all that stuff, write that down, and hopefully that'll help you as you go into next week. 888-627-6008. I'm going to pull up the chat box over here because I have faith that somebody will call in tonight. Our guest tonight is Kayla J.W. Marnock, and Kayla is not a stranger to our program. She is from the wonderful city of Austin, Texas. Her and her husband are right there. Kayla, do you still have the three cats? Okay, we're going to unmute you here.
Great. Okay. Well, unfortunately, we don't, and we can get into that a little bit later. We have two.
You have and two cats, okay.
We have our two.
But you still have your husband.
Yes. We have at time practiced social distancing.
Oh.
But it's okay. You know, I think we all need our space.
I want to let you know I get along well with everybody in my home. Yes. It's me alone.
Absolutely.
And sometimes
absolutely.
I wish I could social distance from myself.
Been there, done that.
I hear you. Kayla has written a series of books, and she may put up some more books that she has, but she's from Austin, Texas, and she has just written these, and I just encourage every parent out there to go buy the whole set of these. I encourage every grandparent to have a set of these when the grandkids come over and play, to be able to, you may want to sit down and talk to him about it. And I love these because it's a simple book. Remember those Run Dick Run, See Jane Jump, and Go Spot Go, those books. I love those books as a kid. It's kind of on that same thing. They're real simple reader, so the kids can actually read the books themselves. And then in the back, which I think is the most precious part about these books, is it always has some pages for the parents of how to deal with the important subject. This isn't just about, hey, the tree is green. It's about what is happening to your body, how to deal with it, how to be successful, how to handle change, how so many different topics. So I just want to welcome Kayla to the program and welcome to Breaking the Silence, my friend.
Thank you so much. You know, and it's so important. You know, Greg, we are so on the same key. The first two points that I had that I wanted to bring up was that right now that we as adults, we're seeing this as a crisis and a pandemic, but we have the opportunity to create the most precious memories for our children during this time. So that when history shows the pandemic of 2020, the child can go, but that was a great time. I got time with my parents. I got time with my family. I learned a lot from them. And so it really is, it can be whatever you make it, and that's, it can be precious memories for these children. With the adult having the safe adult that they can go to and talk with and everything. So, and the second point was taking care of yourself, you know, because you can't give what you don't have. And so often we're trying to take care of so many things because right now, school has ended, but, you know, still, you know, mother, teacher, wife, cook, you know, housekeeper, full-time job still, you know, and you can't give from what you don't have or from a dry well. So it's a matter of really finding that space for yourself. Because one thing I have learned, one time I had asked my daughters, my husband and I were being interviewed. And so I asked my daughters, our daughters, the three questions. What did we do right? What did we do wrong? And what do you wish we had have done? And they were giving us a lot of grace and were very, very kind. But both of them said, I wish you had taught us how to take care of ourselves. Because I didn't know how. I wasn't taught. And so now we have that time that when our children, we can teach them how to take care of themselves, how to speak up, you know, with respect, or how to learn boundaries, what to say, what to do. But we have that time now that we can create such a precious time. You know, it doesn't have to be, like you said, find hope, find something good in today, because it is there.
Yeah. Do you think, Kayla, because I talk on this all the time, every time I'm out with teachers or something, that especially when I get in front of parents, I'm sure you do too, that it was my job as a dad to fix everything for my kids. But sometimes that can be a crutch that they don't need, instead of taking the time to say, hey, this is what you need to do, son. This is what you need to do, daughter. And help them do it themselves and teach them how to do it, because that way they mature at each event in their life. What's your comments about how parents deal with that?
Children need to fail under our wings.
Oh.
We need to give them roots so they can grow up strong. I did an analogy one time where the conversations, like the child is a little, you know, sprout growing up, and that you tie things around it to keep it straight, and each conversation is a little tie to help it go straight so that it's straight and strong. But you have to, so that way it's, you're giving them roots, but then you give them wings so that they can fail under your wings so you can help them. I've had a lot of pushback from different moms, especially when our daughters were a senior. They had no curfew. They had no, they didn't have to answer to us. They didn't have to, you know, they had to be respectful and check in to let me know, you know, what time, basically what time they were going to be home. But I didn't have a curfew for them. And I had mothers just go, how could you do that? I said, they're going to college next year. If they're going to get wild, let them kind of get wild and have their wings their senior year so that we can work with it. Hey, how's those classes go? You know, when I didn't check on their grades or anything because it was up to them, you know. So I think we have to have, they have to know we're there. They have to know that we are listening and we're available, so that they can have the security of coming to us without judgment. I had one, my daughter, when she was in, started freshman or a junior, and was going to go to Florida with a family friends, we knew them and everything, and she came in and she goes, Mom, the kids are sneaking some alcohol on the trip. And so she goes, but Mom, I don't want to drink, but I don't know what to do. I said, okay. Well, let's brainstorm, you know. So we decided she could always keep a cup in her hand and she would fill it. And that way when anybody asked, no, I've got plenty. She was never to let it out of her sight, but that she could do it that way. And I sent her on the way. I had one mother go, you let her go? And I'm going, there's going to be a lot of things in life that I have no control over. I do know these parents. I do know they are responsible. Kids are going to do things that we don't want them to, and they've got to know, we've got to help them know how. When Cammie told her friends, yeah, I told my mom that y'all were bringing in, they're going, what? You told your mother? And she goes, well, yeah, you know. So it was that kind of relationship, and everybody can have that relationship as long as you hold out your judgment.
Yeah.
And your criticism, you know, is very important.
You know, Kayla, that's what I love about your books, your lectures, your workshops, everything that you do is, it's not textbook stuff that it has scientific stuff and things that are, of course, but it's not to where this is the absolute. It always has that extra layer of gift wrap in a bowl that most people that I call good common sense, that most people say, oh, well, that doesn't work. Let's just cut that out. When it does work, if it's done in the right environment, and that's why I always appreciate about you. We're going to take our first break. And then I don't know if you have all your books with you, but yes, I want you to go through each book with us and let us know what the title of it is, and then tell us about what you have coming up with the latest book. So come back with us. We'll be right back. We're going to take a little bit of break. I need to get another cookie and another cup of coffee, and we'll have a commercial. Doug, run whatever commercial. If you want to run the intro now, that's fine with me. I don't care. But we'll be right back. Call us 888-627-6008 for another segment of Breaking the Silence. Be right back.
Eye Publishing that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Welcome back, and appreciate you being here. And my son Curtis is saying that he's right there watching the Facebook broadcast of this live. So you can actually go on shatteredbythedarkness.com, and you can ask your questions on there. And then Curtis may jump into the pool with us here in a minute if we have any questions on that side. So however you want to do it, I think this is being broadcast in so many different programs and avenues and ways. I don't even know. I don't even know how to turn on the computer. And if I can be honest with you, I have this computer just for the radio show. I have another computer just for another thing. I have another, because I'm afraid if I mess with it and turn it off and on, it'll never work again. I'm crazy that way, Kayla. I don't know what's going on. But, you know, I had kids for a couple reasons. One, I love kids. But to mow the lawn and to do my electronics for me.
That's what my son-in-laws are for. And they do wonderful.
Well, I tell you what, I have Curtis that runs the Facebook and the webpage and all that for me. And I have Doug and Don there at the radio show to run everything else for me. But I just wish somebody could come in and turn my computer on for me every now and then. Anyway, you know, Kayla, I have to be honest with you, and I'll lie about something else on another day. But this book I carry around with me in my briefcase, and every time I speak, anybody that has heard me at any webinar or anything, even the one I did the other day for the National Teachers Association, something went out to thousands of people. I pull up a hole. I found this book. I know this author. This is what you need to do, especially. And so I tell them always about this book, Kayla. And tell me, you know, I'm kind of proud of this one. This is the one that goes along with my vein of what I teach and train on. But tell me about all the books that you have. Real quick, kind of hold them up, where they can get them, and then tell me. I'm anxious to hear about the new book that may be coming out soon.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this one is My Body's Mine. Yeah. You can see that. And the important thing about it is that it validates a child's feelings. It also lets them know what a safe adult will not say, what they can do if they are approached. But it has in there that they really, that, you know, to validate their feelings, because a yucky feeling is good to know. And too often we dismiss children and just go, oh, you know, no. No, you need to listen to your child. And in the back, it's all multicultural. And again, it gives them the actual things they need to do. Because it's very sing-songy is in their in the writing of it. But in the back of it, where it says behaviors display a need, it has the questions and the things that you can do, but it does not have leading questions. They're open-ended so that you can you don't need to be afraid. The thing is that with the questions, you can read the book together and then you can ask the questions. There is no reason not to. Too often parents say, I don't know what to say, or I'm afraid I'll say more than what I should. And it's like, well, you know, you are your child's best advocate. Right. And that you're to be the one to do it. So with the book, you don't have to think. You don't have to do anything. You have to act.
Right. Good.
And it's your responsibility.
Okay.
Yeah. The second one is I Can Do That. And it is a book that has really, it's a lot of fun. But what it tells you is that it validates, again, their feelings, you know, when they can say that, They have big emotions. And also, you know, it really lets them know that if they can't sit still when they get mad, that it's okay, you know, but then it has the actual activities they can do. And that's the thing about this one is that it gives you practical applications, the different things that a child can keep with them and that you help them to do as well. And again, in the back, it has the parents and then it has the open-ended questions.
Love it.
The third one is My Actions Matter. And this one is on life values because this one is on self-regulation. And that's to help a child to help regulate themselves. Adults can use it too.
Yes.
So it's, you know, practical applications. This one is on My Actions Matter. And it really helps with parents to know that, you know, the different things that a child does, that it helps them to understand that there are consequences. With this one, there's actual scripts that the parent can recite. So they go, my child just makes me so mad, I don't know what to say. Well, in here, it says, when you get those sassy attitudes that we can all have and we'll all get and gut, it, you can say, oh, whoa, no way, let's try again with respect. No, let's try that again with respect. So it tells you what you can say and everything. And then in the back of it, it also has the different behaviors, you know, display a need. But this one also has the levels of engagement. Because often when we get upset with our children, it's if they spill their milk, well, it's spilt milk, you know. I mean, you get a towel, you clean it up. You know, you need to sit still at the table or whatever instead of screaming at them. So you don't have a level 3 response to a level 1 infraction. So it actually guides you through how what the level of response you need to do. So that's the 3 that I have so far.
Okay. And the next thing that you have coming out, I don't know much about it, but tell me what the topic is and why you think that is a good 4th edition volume of your series.
Yeah, it is. It's on grief and loss. Mm. And the working title is I'm Gonna Be Okay. Because again, it's gonna validate the feelings that a child goes through, anyone goes through when you have loss. And the loss is gonna cover not only death, but it also like abandonment, incarceration, you know, that if it's a foster care, you know, where their parent has, if it's a one parent home or whatever, with grandparents, you know, if you lose a grandparent or a relationship, moving, you know, that it's going to address a real layers of, because loss is so huge.
Oh, yeah.
And we have to validate our children's feelings. You know, children are not little adults. Too often we feel like, well, they should be able to handle this. No, they shouldn't, you know, because they are not little adults. You know, when it's talking about it, that they experience trauma through their parents as well, because they can pick up feelings and everything.
Yeah.
And so when we're upset, especially in a time like this where nothing is normal that we're used to, we're having to find that new normal, you know.
Right.
And the children, you can't expect them just to, come on, buck it up and get with the program. No, you have to really find out where they are mentally, emotionally, physically, and then you ask them, you know, in one of the statistics when it was talking about especially teens that are facing depression, watching your children and dealing with it, they said that studies have shown that lives have been saved by directly asking your child about their feelings on committing suicide or where do they stand with that. That if we dance around it or, well, they'll be okay and I don't want to face it, you know. No, you directly ask, you know, have you been having feelings of suicide? You know, because that then opens it up for your child. And by their reaction, you can know if they go, no. Really? You know, you need to go. But if they go, yeah, I just didn't want to say it.
Yeah.
You're opening up that, but you have to follow through with that.
Yeah.
With that.
You know, in the new book that's coming out, I have a whole section on suicide, a whole chapter on suicide, and I talk very openly about how many times I actually tried as a child. I have not told anybody this. This is all new information that's coming out. Is there any statistics that you know of, or you ran across or talked to counselors or social workers on, that has indicated what the average ideology of suicide in the average teenager? Does one out of every 20 think about it? There's one out of every 5. Do we have any kind of stats on that? I'm sure we can investigate.
I'm sure there are, but I think it's just like with children who are abused.
Yeah.
That it's 1 in 3 girls, 1 in 4 boys by the time they're 18. I think there are statistics, but I would really venture to say they're higher than what is really admitted to, because it's a shame thing. Because I myself have dealt with a lot of depression in my life. I have no reason. I have had, you know, I mean, there have been some instances as I was older and stuff, as far as my situation and stuff, but I've not been, as a child, there was no abuse or anything, but I've just dealt with clinical depression, and I have been very suicidal because of that. And so, and I'm very open about it, because I'm amazed at how many women will go, You seem so happy and lucky and happy-go-lucky. Yeah. There's another side. And
as we turn the corner to the last half hour of this, with all the books and the new one that you have coming up, what kind of impact do you think what's going on out here in this world does to our children? Right now, and I know the abuse side, it scares me silly to think the kids that have been abused are now being told to stay in your home 24/7. They don't even get the freedom of protection of being at the school system and getting out of the house. But I think our numbers are just going to skyrocket when this thing's back done. If you're in counseling college or in thinking about being a counselor, you're going to have plenty of subjects to deal with, because I think we have a major problem coming on our hands in mental health. But what kind of impact do you think is involving with the kids? They not only lost their school, they've lost their little league, they've lost their friends, they've lost their touch with the world to be able to go to the parks and go to Walmart and pick out a toy and all that stuff that means so much to kids. Even go to McDonald's and do the Playland and all that stuff that I love to do with my kids. How does that, I guess, drop into a book or ideology of grief and loss? How's that impacting our kids right now today?
Well, you know, I believe that there's so much, again, we don't have the normal that we had before. It's kind of, I liken it back, of course, I wasn't alive in the 30s, but, you know, but before we had all of these, the modern conveniences and the ways of connecting and all of these things, that we're kind of going back to that more simple way of life. So it has how does the adult approach the loss? If the parent or the caregiver is constantly going, you know, I can't believe I can't go anywhere, and I'm so sick of not going someplace, and, you know, and their attitude toward it, like, I shouldn't be having to do this. You should have a teacher for this. You should be in sports. You know, I don't know how to teach you. Go figure it out. However the adult handles it is how the child is going to respond. So it's a matter of, number one, us taking care of ourselves, putting ourselves in timeout at times, having that place of, mama needs to go into timeout for just a little bit. So I need y'all just to kind of, you know, I need you to do something, you know, on your own. When you see that there's increased moodiness, if there's clinginess, irritability, nightmares, inattention, reverting back to a prior stage, like if they're potty trained and now then they are wetting the bed again. Those are the things that you have to really speak openly with, to be honest, with a age appropriate, that it's kind of like the on the story Rumpelstiltskin, you know, naming it. A lot of times I've also, you know, heard it's like, you know, okay, well, you're, you know, do you feel sad? Do you feel, you know, something? Because the child may be feeling something different. And our perception is sadness, but you can say, how are you feeling? You know, what's your, you know, what is your tummy up? You know, what, how are you feeling? And because they may come up with something totally different, you know, than what we're expecting them to say, but it's validating their feelings because it's a valid feeling regardless of what it is. It's so important for the parent to be able to watch what, how the child is acting, being different, and brainstorming with that child, you know, giving them some power. You know, it's our power to give. We don't have to keep it. And by sharing our power, that's empowering them, and it's not taking power away from us. So it really is important that we need to monitor ourselves, number one, making sure that we are, and then speaking openly on age-appropriate language with the child so that they know what is going on in their child's, because you've got to validate it so they can own it. And they've got to feel protected. You know, you can't just tell a child, well, I'm scared, you know. It's like, well, how can you rephrase that? You know, this is a hard time for me right now, sweetheart. And I know it's a hard time for you, but you know what I'm doing? And then you tell the child what you're doing to take care of themselves or yourself to help them know, oh, okay, mommy's feeling kind of upset too. So it's okay for me to feel upset. And she's, you know, she's doing her nails or whatever. So I'm going to play with the Play-Doh or whatever. But at any rate, it's letting the child know that, oh, I'm strong and I don't have any feelings at all. I'm great. That's a lie. Your child knows that. You're putting a front on. So, but allowing them to feel protected in that same vein, as far as you can't just say, well, I'm scared, not what we're going to do. I don't know. This is crazy. You know, it's like, well, this is really unsettling for me. And I'm not getting to do the things I can do. So let's name the things we can do. What can we do? You know, and then switch it to the positive. You know, you got to validate and then try and go in the validate, empower, and with the positive.
I love that. As I take notes, because I steal from all I guess.
You bet. And the, you know, and the other thing is to be informed, you know, ACEs, which I know that you're a very, you know, big part of. It's that we cannot stick our head in the sand. This is not a time to try and have old ways of doing things. Well, this is the way I've always done it. Well, you know, that doesn't fly anymore. It's be informed and be available to different options. It's like I said, you know, with the girls, when they didn't have any kind of curfew or any kind of limits that, you know, on them that was, they were going to do it, I was available to discuss it with them. You know, and I would, you know, I just ask them, I said, all I'm asking is just to let me know, you know, kind of like you would a roommate. Because when you have a roommate, you need to be respectful, you know. So, So really, that's really what I think is important, you know, is acknowledging their feelings and answer simply and answer the question they ask, not the whole litany of the whole thing, you know.
Yeah, it's like, I didn't do that.
Yeah, you know, because what you know, it's like, you know, well, mommy, are people getting sick? Yes, and there's dying, and did you know it's now 5,000? You know, it's like, yes, there's people really, really sick, and some of them they have to go to the hospital, but you know what we're doing? We're washing our hands, and we're being safe. So then you acknowledge that, yes, this is a very difficult time, and, you know, I'm doing the best that I can, and here's what you can do, too. To empower them.
Okay, we're going to take our last break right now. We would love to have your conversations on with us tonight at 888-627-6008. And Douglas is literally sitting on the phone waiting for it to vibrate and tickle him. So please call 888-627-6008. And we'll be right back for the final edition and the final segment of Breaking the Silence. Be right back. This couldn't be coming at a better time. Have you ever felt like you were just trapped and couldn't find your way out of darkness? Have you ever felt like you were drowning and fighting to find your next breath? Well, coming in June 2020 will be the second of a three-part trilogy, my new book, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. This new book will provide you a step-by-step approach of how to reach that destination, that important destination called hope. Now, two additional resources are going to be made available when this book is released. One, The Map to Hope. It'll be a handy guide that you can carry around with you, put in your briefcase or put in your purse. And this guide is going to help you find your way when you're stuck in life looking and searching for hope. And then the other resource, the Overcoming the Darkness Companion Journal. I have always believed that journaling is the first step to finding real healing and hope in your life, and this journal will guide you down that path. I'm excited about these resources and this new book that's going to be released in June 2020, the Summer of Hope. Now back to the next segment of Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams right here on VBS Radio. Welcome back, and we just, let's see, am I still muted or am I good? I'm good.
Good.
I'm muted. Okay, very good. Welcome back. It's great to have you for the last segment. We have an awesome author with us today, and Kayla J.W. Marnock, and she's been talking about her books and the latest book that's going to be coming out soon. And any more in this day and age, I hate to give anything a time frame because everything is crazy with trying to get time frames and things done in a great manner, because things are just backlogged and half-staffed. And even though my commercial says it was out in June, obviously we're in July. I don't know, Caleb, when is your book maybe coming out? What year?
That's a fair question. You know, it's about grief and loss. And I have, unfortunately, have dealt with a lot of grief this year, that on January 3rd, my middle sister was diagnosed with ovarian cancer and peritoneum cancer. And she, I was with her 24/7, almost the last week of her life. She was in hospice and she passed away. She was diagnosed on January 3rd. She passed away on January 19th. And so it was really hard because it was so unexpected or anything else. She was cremated. I did her eulogy, and you know, so that was a real honor, but difficult. We had two different memorials for her. And when we came back from the one in Arkansas, we had left on Friday and we had three little cats. And we came home on Sunday. We were just gone from Friday to Sunday, came home, and we couldn't find Lola, which she was the really loud one we would be hearing right now if this was going on. We couldn't find her, and then I found her behind the couch that she had died. And she was 12. We didn't know why, but to have so suddenly, it was like that guilt. Well, did I not know what was going on, you know? And then COVID hits and we're all kind of, you know, sequestered. And then my husband's sister-in-law passed away. And they were in North Carolina. We couldn't go. So he had to face that by himself with his daughter. And normally my husband has 9 brothers and sisters, there's 10 of them. And so he would have been inundated with family and he's all alone. You know, he has his daughter this is there. And they have a granddaughter, but very young. But still, it's just not normal. And I have been going through this grieving process, and I can't write it right now. I'm too close to it. I think sometimes we feel like we have to keep this schedule because, yes, I've got it this pinpoint of time. And it's like, no, give yourself the slack to change. And so you know, my husband, he's going, no, you're not going to, you know, because usually I don't like to keep two things in the irons in the fire. I like about 7 because then I will get a bunch of things done and he's going nothing. And he's right. And so I have really backed off of everything and have just allowed myself time to grieve. And I think that during this time of COVID, we are trying to fit our old normal into what we did do. And it's like, no, it's a whole new, it's new circumstances. You know, it's like, let go of the past, quit hanging on to it, let go of the past, and let's create and let's forge a new future.
Yeah.
You know, and enjoy what you, it's like, this is a great opportunity, you know? And, you know, God's given us this whole new vista in front of us. That's a blank slate.
Yeah.
And so how do I want to make it? So as far as the book coming out, I'm hoping that I can start it maybe in October is kind of the timeline that I'm kind of giving myself. Because like I said, I'm not going to rush it because when I write a book, even though these are very simple, books, it's like that. It's like it's the depth of it, you know, because I feel this, I feel what the child, you know, if a child has been assaulted, you know, what different feelings do they have and what do we need to tell them and how must that, you know, grate on their soul and stuff and, yeah. You know, going, and so I know this is going to be a hard one, you know, but it's one needed because when I talk to the therapist, I've been part of the, play therapy network. And when I'd say, yeah, I'm thinking about the next one's going to be grief and loss. And they've all responded, yes. Be sure to make it multi-leveled so that it's not just death, but loss through divorce, through incarceration, like I mentioned, through, you know, financial, just different ways. So,
well, you know, I was going down through the loss list. A few minutes ago, you was literally going down the ACEs list, you know, incarceration, death, divorce, and it goes right on down the line. And that is such a major player, I think, in kids and adults right now. And I personally think that when you write something like this, or even something like this, or what Kelly wrote last week, the guided journey of a journal of alcoholism, being a married to an alcoholic husband. I think when we go on a journey that God says you can handle.
Yes.
And we complete it on the other side.
Yeah.
I think the blood that we've shed and the tears makes awesome ink for a book. And I just believe that that's what it's meant to be. And in this day and age, anybody can be an author and everybody has a book in them. If they would just reach down and go, okay, what did I learn? What did I experience? What did I feel? What do I wish I could do different? How can I approach it from another angle? And what lessons are there for somebody else? And it's a bestseller. But when we just try to make up words, it's not going to work. So I appreciate you taking the time and letting it. Well, you mix all this stuff up in a cake and you throw it in the oven. And in 5 minutes, you say, oh, I'm hungry now. And you yank it out and try to eat it. It's not going to be any good. Let it cook. Let it get where it needs to be. And it's going to be an awesome treat for everybody when it comes out to the world. So I appreciate that.
Thank you. And I did want to let you to mention, too, that My Body's Mine is in Spanish.
Oh, good.
And so it is. And I've got, I have done video trailers on my website, which is KaylaJWMarnock.com. And that's M-A-R-N-A-C-H. And the books are available on Amazon. And, you know, like I said, and I've done some trailers on it so that you can see a little more of what's on the inside of each book. But it is, this is the only one I have in Spanish right now. So just want to let you know.
You have some other resources on the website, like posters and bookmarks and different things. So what if I was a parent and I thought, hey, what can I get off your website right now to be able to deal with the kid that is, let me just come up with something, acting out in rage. Just can't handle this stupid COVID thing. TV won't work. The internet's down. The game system's broke. And it's just absolutely rage, rage, rage. What could they find on your website right now that could help a parent with that child?
Well, I'm so glad you asked.
Well, I didn't know because I'm just pulling it out and seeing what you have to offer.
Yes, I have given several talks on stress-free strategies for starting the hardest of conversations.
Wow.
And so these strategies will take you through helping you start the conversation, knowing how to present it, when to present it, what to say, and then how you can prepare yourself. It's very simple. It's very applicable. And then I have a couple of other resources as far as, mainly it's like talking with children and realizing that you're not an expert. You know, you don't have to be an expert. You are a resource. And that's what is so important. So there's several different, ones, but the stress-free strategies really has gotten a great information, that's easy, applicable, practical. And all of the books that I've written, and also when I was writing this, I was letting the therapist, because I've written all my books with therapists. And I've given them to them, and they'll take out, don't use the word good in this reference, because that's what's maybe good for someone is not good for someone else.
Right.
So take it out, So anyway, so every word has been curated through the therapist. And so when I was giving them this stress-free strategy handout, the therapist was looking at it, and she goes, oh, wow. Well, this is really good. I hadn't heard this before. And I went, I know, I made it up. I took what they had given to me and then I put it into, to BUDS is what the acronym is. And so she goes, well, that's really good. And I go, that's what y'all taught me.
That's good.
So, and it's just free downloads.
Fantastic. And you like those acronyms and things of that order to help people remember, right?
Yes. That is my go-to, to do an acronym.
When if there's some people, because we have a lot of teachers that listen tonight, we have a lot of doctors that listen, I have a lot of social workers that listen to the program each week. If not, they're out in the podcast world and, in their cars heading to work, whatever, they'll listen to the show in the morning or Tuesday morning when it comes on live. if they wanted to contact you, I know you do workshops. What is a couple of your favorite right now that would be, if somebody would only invite me to come and talk about this, what would a couple of those be? And how can people get in touch with you to maybe have you do webinars and virtual things online for groups, for schools, for teachers? Some of them are getting back together for CMEs and education times and all of that stuff. What's a couple of the things that you would just love to be invited to talk about?
Really, it's on the stress-free strategies, because starting hard conversations, because we are so afraid of saying something. We're afraid of saying something wrong, so we say nothing. And to really be able to, with confidence and with ease, that with these strategies, you can start that conversation today. And that's what I really, when I'm holding a workshop, it's like, you are now charged, because I take the excuse away.
Yeah.
No more excuse. You know, the other thing is I Dibs You is another one of the bookmarks that I have, is to I Dibs You. And it is a bookmark that you can give to each of the students, letting them know that you're a safe place, that you're going to stop immediately. You're going to take a deep breath, because breathing really changes the chemistry in the brain. And all the books too are brain-based. And that you're going to take them to a quiet place. You're not going to interrupt them. You're going to let them say what they need to until they've said everything. Mm-hmm. And then when natural consequences take the place, they know it's not going to be something that's not fair, and that you will stay with them until they feel safe. So it's really so important that we talk with our kids on their level today, and it's just, I know that my husband's friend told me this many years ago, and it works, is that he says, you can get more information out of your child over a bowl of popcorn or a bowl of ice cream in their room after you've tucked them in at night. And the lights are off, and you just, hey, you want some popcorn? And they go, well, sure. And they just scoot over, and you just sit there, and then you just munch on the popcorn. And that eye-to-eye contact, which can sometimes be intimidating, because I'm not going to look at you. I feel like I'm being interrogated. If you're side by side, that's much less threatening. And everything, and that they can open up, and then it's just asking, how was your day, and then just asking very simple questions to lead in, and then stop talking. This is to hear what your child has to say, and let them because so often we have so much we want to get across, or we think we're the adult. You need to shut up and sit down and, zip it and listen to me. Sometimes, yes, there has to be a level of respect, absolutely. But if you don't respect your child, what are you showing them? Because if they have to, that's one thing. I was always very quick to apologize to my daughters, because I wanted them to apologize to me. But how do they know what it looks like if you don't do it?
That's good.
And so you have to show that respect, and we all lose our temper. I yelled at my children, even though my mother never yelled at me. I yelled at my daughters, and once I'd come to, I would go back in and I would say, I was wrong. I am so sorry.
These books look like they're designed for little kids,
right?
For children. But I tell you what, the wisdom that you just gave, what 16, 17-year-old teenager wouldn't be thrilled tonight to have their parent come in, sit on the edge of their bed with ice cream or popcorn, or just to sit there and go, hey, how was your day? And just listen. I failed to do that with my kids. I wish I did a show on that at Father's Day, what I did wrong. But what teenager wouldn't love and crave for that kind of time? And I promise you that that'll be something they never forget.
One thing too is that, and this is not actual happen, is that I had heard to ask your husband, you know, what could I do to make your day better? What could I do to make your day better? And so I asked that of John. He'd say, well, if you get the dishes done out of the sink, that'd be nice. Okay. And then I would do, what can I do to make your day better? And I just ask it repeatedly. He asks me now.
Well, don't tell him.
You know, but it's like, what can I do to make your day better? And it's something that's concrete, you know, and it's like, well, and so ask your child, what can I do to make your day better?
Wow.
And it's like, well, if you'd play, you know, if you'd play with me, if you'd play a video game that you don't know, you don't understand. Okay. If you'll have patience. My daughters, we had Nintendo night in the summer. No bedtime. We would eat. I was always up late gathering the stars. They would be out. But it was like one night. The other thing I wanted to mention, too, is the importance of having a schedule. Children need to know to anticipate what's going to happen next.
Yeah, they get some sense.
Right, because you're having that regular schedule. I know this is going to happen. And allow them to help guide the schedule, too, within your parameters.
Right.
You know, I would always tell the girls, I would give them my two positives to pick from, A or B. It's my choice. Yeah, this is what A or B, but they got to choose which one. So keeping that regular schedule gives them a comfort level of knowing what is to expect.
That's great. Tell you what, Kayla, it's just been a joy. We're way past our time, but Doug came on. He said there's no time limit tonight, so no big deal. But okay. I just appreciate you being on and the friendship that you give not only to me, yes, but to our listeners, and the common sense approach and just – I always get something from you every time that you're on that I can actually use life that following week. And that's what it's all about. It was just to gather all the information and not do anything with it.
Right.
There's a library for that. There's an internet for that. But to actually use it and apply it, I appreciate that. This is what I'm recommending, all these books that she has by Kayla J.W. Marnock. You can get them on Amazon. Get on her webpage right now and download the free resources. Watch her videos that she has, whatever it is. But make sure you get a copy and the whole set. They're affordable. The whole set, just have them in your house. And to be awesome Christmas gifts. And you might as well start thinking about it because it's Christmas in July now. So you might as well start worrying about that. Kayla, thank you for being with us tonight. I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me on.
It is good to have you from Austin with us tonight. And tell your husband, John, I said howdy again.
You got it. Will do.
God bless you, Kayla. Appreciate it.
Thank you,
sir.
I
always like to end the program each week with just to let you know that no matter what you're going through, no matter what's happened, no matter what the test results come back with, I'm sitting here watching the test results online to see if I have this wicked thing or not. But no matter what it is, okay, no matter what happens to you in your life, huddle up. There's always hope. There's always hope. There is always hope. No matter how far your child has got out of that realm of normalcy in their own life, take a step back, take a deep breath, and say there's always hope. And love them one more time. Love them a little bit more. Hug them a little bit tighter. And just remember that. So thank you for joining us tonight. Join us right here next week, 8 o'clock Central Time. July is going to be an awesome book of shows. So don't miss one edition on each Sunday night live right here for another edition of Breaking the Silence. Thank you for being with us tonight. God bless. Have an awesome week.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness @gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.